The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to have the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, that I may eat the Passover with my disciples, furnished and ready?' And then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Look, take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is the blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the kingdom of God." Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the Feast of Corpus Christi, Latin for the Body of Christ. There's a great debate going on in the church right now among a number of bishops and cardinals who strongly oppose Pope Francis's invitation for divorced and civilly remarried Catholics to come and receive communion. Let me explain to you the theology that's behind the debate. Those of you who are my age can remember when we were little kids growing up. We'd be out playing on a summer afternoon, and suddenly all our mothers would be on the porch calling us in because we had to get cleaned up, get dressed, and go to church. Why? Because we had to go to confession. I mean, I'm 10 years old. What do you do wrong at 10? But we had to go to confession so that we could receive communion the next morning. And then we had to fast from midnight the night before until we received communion. And so communion was seen as a reward for being good. And if I wasn't good, I should not come to receive communion. Then came the Second Vatican Council, 1961 to 64. All the bishops of the world came to Rome, and they said, "Let's take a look at every aspect of the church and determine what Jesus said, what the Gospels tell us, as opposed to maybe what a law written in the 12th or 15th century might tell us." And when they did that and looked at communion, they discovered that in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus institutes the Eucharist at the Last Supper. And he says, "This is my body, take and eat. This is my blood, take and drink." In John's Gospel, written much, much later, they discover that John has the institution of the Eucharist taking place not at the Last Supper, but in the feeding of the 5,000. And so they said to themselves, "Wait a minute. Jesus never intended this to be a reward for being good. He intended it to be food to feed us and sustain us in our spiritual journey of life. And so who am I or anyone to say to someone who feels a hunger, 'You can't come to the table of the Lord and be fed'?" And so the debate is, if you take a pre-Vatican II approach, that it's a reward for being good, as opposed to Pope Francis taking a post-Vatican II approach, that it is food that feeds and sustains us, and everyone should come to the Lord's table. Secondly, remember when we talked about the different levels of our faith? There's doctrine, teachings, disciplines, and practices. The doctrines can't change. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, etc. The teachings are the whole of our sexual ethic, our moral ethic, and those can change, and they have changed through the laws. Beneath that are disciplines. I'm bound by the discipline of celibacy. If I want to be a priest, I can't be married. A pope can change that with his signature, and it's gone. It's not a teaching, and it's certainly not doctrine. And then at the bottom are the practices. Some people say the rosary, that's wonderful. Other people don't. Both of them are perfectly fine. So where does the indissolubility of marriage fit in? It would be a doctrine. But the caution that people who are divorced and civilly remarried should not come to communion is certainly not a doctrine. It's a teaching at best. You could make a good argument that it's a discipline. And so it can be changed. What we have to remember when we want to find the truth about anything in our faith, always go back to Jesus Christ and the gospel. Amen.